We begin the current daf Masechta Sukkah, daf Yedaled. We begin 5 lines up from the bottom of the Yabed. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara brought a machlekes, 2 different versions of Amiram, and what Rav Huna had said regarding the halachas of Yadois. The halacha of Yad is that if an object, for it to become tamei, whether it's a kli, or whether, in other words, a vessel, or a meichel, a food item, if it's attached with a handle, the halacha is that if the yad contracts tumma, that conveys tumma to the object itself too, whether it be a food item or whether it be a kli. However, there were 2 different versions of what Rav Huna said when we would say that the object would not have the halachic status of a yad, although it's something that's attached to the food item. Rav Abba's version was that if one harvests grapes for the wine press, there we will not say that the stems, things that are attached to the grapes, will have halacha of yad, because actually it's detrimental and you don't want it to be attached, and hence it's not considered a handle or something that's secondary to the grapes. Whereas Rav Menashe said even more. He said even if one is reaping grain, stalks of grain, for the purposes of schach, there he says that there too there will not be halacha of yad, because one does not want the grain attached to the stalks, because it's the stalks, the psoilus, that one is using for the schach, but the grain actually, that's a food item, would be possible for the schach, so he doesn't want it to be attached. Whereas Rav Abba held that no, in such a case, it would have a halachic status of yad, because it still helps that the schach should not be blown away, because it's very light without the grain inside of that. Now the Gemara said that it seems to be that what Rav Menashe is trying to say, that it actually depends on the machlokes tanoim. We had a machlokes tanoim regarding different items that are psoilus that are still attached to their produce. One of them being this case that we were discussing of kashan with straw that still has the ears of grain attached to it. So that too is a machlokes tanoim between the Rabbanan and Acherim regarding if we have more psoilus than the eichel, so we have more kosher schach, which is the psoilus, than the food item, which is pasal, then the halacha is going to be kosher. The Acherim said a different version of that. They said it could only be batel b'rayv, having majority of it being kosher, which is the psoilus. And then the eichel, it also has to have majority over, besides the eichel, also on the yadis, on the handles. So the Gemara wanted to say, it would seem like that the machloikas between the Acherim and the Rabbana are actually, they're arguing about Rav Menashe's halacha. And that is, the Acherim seem to be saying, not like Rav Menashe, that they hold that it still has halacha of yad, even though you're reaping it for the halacha of using it for schach, which according to Menashe, it would not have halachic status of yad. They hold that it would be, like Rav Abba. Whereas the Rabbanan held that it would not have halacha of yadis, which would be like Rav Menashe, who says that it will not have, because you don't actually want it to still be attached for it to have halacha of yad. So now the Gemara came to answer for Rav Menashe. The Menashe would tell you that no, it's not true. You could really say that according to Rav Abba, yes, it would be totally in this machlekes tanoim. He would only be like one of the opinions and not like the other one. But I could say truthfully that everyone would agree to me that if one would be reaping the grain for the purpose of using b'schach, then what's left over, the psoilus, the straw, would not have a halacha of a yad, because no one wants it to be attached. Now, although we have over there that the Chaim seem to be saying that it will have a loch of yad, that's talking about specifically when originally it was reaped for the purpose of eating the grain. Only later did they then change their mind and say, you know what, let's use it for schach. In such a case, the Chaim said it will have a loch of yad, because since originally when you reaped it was for eating purposes, then we say that obviously the grain will, you would want to hold it together with the straw. Therefore, the straw had a halacha of yad. Now, although you're retracting, it will still maintain, it will retain its original halacha of yad, and that's why it will have a halacha of yad to be mekabel tumah through the yad. However, the Rabbanan would be arguing, but that would be the explanation of that shita of the Acherim, that it's not a contradiction, the opinion of Acherim to Rav Menashe, because that's talking about that it wasn't originally reaped for schach, but if it was originally reaped for schach, then of course they would agree to Rav Menashe that it would not have a halacha of yad. That's why our current Gemara continues. Now, the Gemara asks, Ikutz in Lachila, if it's the way Rav Menashe is telling you that this Machlokes Tanoim is not a contradiction, both opinions can be like him, because even the Acherim that say it does have a loch of Yad is not talking about that you originally had reaped it for Schach. Actually, it was reaped for eating purposes, and only later did you change your mind, and that's why it will still maintain its status of Yad. So then, Maita Maid Rabbanon. So the Rabbanon was the opinion we thought would be like Rav Menashe, who they were saying that when you have this grain, you weren't reaping it for eating purposes, so then that would make sense that it doesn't have halacha of yad, like Rav Menashe says. But if we're explaining the case that they're arguing about regarding a case when you had been reaping it for eating purposes, and now only later did you change your mind, so what's the reason of the Rabbanon that it does not have halacha of like yad? because even Rabbi Nachman should agree that it should have, because it was originally reaped for eating purposes, which makes the stalks of the grain into a yad of the grain. Now, if you're going to say that the Rabbanan hold and they argue on the Acherim, since ultimately you did change your mind and say, you know what, I'm not going to use these stalks that I'm reaping now for eating purposes to take the grain out of them. Rather, I'm going to use them as schach. So therefore, his original machshava, his thought process that he had in mind when he was reaping, that he's going to use it for eating, hence, which originally gave that the stalks into a halachic status of yad, will no more be a status of yad, because now he changed his mind. Now he wants to use it as schach, which, as we had explained according to Menashe, if you're using it for schach, you don't want them to be attached, hence they're not a handle. But that is the Gemara's question to me. But le'machshava, can we say that the original machshava that was had when it was being reaped, which gave the stalk a status of a yad, to then be able to contract tumma and convey that to the grain that's inside of it, does a later machshava of changing one's mind, of saying, hey, I'm not going to use it for eating purposes, I'm going to use it for schach, which therefore I don't want them to be attached, hence it shouldn't be yad, will that help Bahachi with that? And that is, as Rashi explains, even if it didn't become tummy before he changed his mind, however, it already had acquired the status of contracting tumma through his original first machshava, which was to use it for eating purposes, which then gave it into halachic of yad, because you wanted to stay attached if you were there to protect the grain. Now, can you lose the original thought process that you had for achila, which gave it a yad, with your later thought, which then will say, hey, I'm not using it with that, I'm using brischach, and just that thought alone can negate the original thought and say that now it doesn't have halach of yad? And that would explain the opinion of the Rabban and not like the Acherim, but none. We learn the Mishnah Masechet Kelim. This seems to say that one cannot do that. If you originally had a machshava for eating, then it should maintain that. So what would be the pshat in the Rabban that would hold that it doesn't have a loch of yad? If we're explaining the case of this machlekes tanoim as a way to resolve Rav Menashe by saying that it was originally being reaped for eating purposes, as the Mishnah Masechet Kelim says, kol hakelim, all vessels. We continue on top of Yidalim and Aleph, yerdin l'day tumah b'machshava. It could acquire a status of contracting tumma just with thought. And that is, if let's say somebody's working on something on the vessel, and he thought that this is what I want the final product to be. So for example, let's say he's making some type of a bed or a mat, something that was easily, once you finish the basic process, it's already finished. You don't have to turn it into a particular object like shoes or something like that. Now, once he finished tanning it, it's already mekabel tumma because it's done in the state that it is. Now, had he originally been planning to make it into straps or shoes, then it would not have acquired tumma yet until he would have finished making it into the final product of what it is, which is shoes, which is what the kli would have been. Up until then, it's not a kli. However, if your original thought was to make it into whatever it is, even just a mat, the second you finish tanning, even though it was just a thought, that already gives it a status to be mekabel tumma. However, the ein oilin mitumasin, it cannot be removed from its status of being makabel tuma with just a machshava. So for example, let's say he said, I'm tanning this, I want it to be for a table or for a bedspread. And then he thinks, you know what, wait a second, why should I do that? Let me use it for the shoes I want to make. That thought will not negate the original thought of which was what had already given it a status of being makabel tuma. The only way you can remove that, the halachic status of it, of being able to mekabel tumma, because it was already a lower level, but it was already kli, because that what you had in mind, that should be the end product, until you actually do an action to it. For example, if you put the knife actually to the leather, and you start cutting it, then you're showing that that's not your intention anymore, because you're ruining that, you're turning it into shoes. But only with that action would you be able to negate the original machshava. As is explained, because ma'isa ma'itzim de ma'isa, only an action can remove a previous action. That is, which that's a chiddush in saying that even if you had originally done an action to demonstrate that you're making it for, let's say, a covering for a table or a table, which is you already had done the finishing touches on the edges, but once you put a knife to it to cut it into strips and to make it into for a strap, so then you're showing that you're negating your original action. And most definitely, an action will be maitzi, will remove from the status of miyad machshava, from the original thought that you had when you didn't do a maisa, which you just were thinking as you were doing it, hey, let me just make it for this. And when you do an action, for sure that will remove from that. However, machshava, just a thought, eina maitziya, will not remove it, lo miyad maisa, v'shonat from an action that was done to demonstrate that this was the end product, v'lo miyad machshava, and not even from a thought that one had. So as we said, which was the case, if let's say you had a thought, oh, I'm just making into a mat, and that was it, and then he's thinking, you know what, maybe not, let me make it into something else, that thought will not remove it. So although a thought can create it, a thought cannot remove from the previous thought, and for sure not from an action. Now, the question is, if we're explaining this case for a Menashe, to say that both opinions are like him, even that of the Acherim, and although the Acherim say that it has a Yad, and Menashe said that when you're reaping it for Schach, the straw will not have a Loch of Yad, here it's different, we said, because it was originally done for eating, and then, only later did he change the schach. Oh, you did it for eating, so then already acquired the status of a yad. It won't lose it, even though you're changing your mind using the schach. Then the Gemara says, but then the Rabbanan seem to be difficult. Because why would the Rabbanan hold then it would not have a yad? Why shouldn't it have a yad? Although you're changing your mind cannot remove from the original thought process that you had, which was doing it for eating, and therefore already had halachic status of a yad to be makabel tama. How are you removing that by just changing your mind, which a machshava is not moisi midei machshava? Now, so the Gemara says, and maybe you're going to say, v'chitei mehanamili, maybe you're going to say that, whoa, when did we say this halacha that we brought down from the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, that a later machshava cannot be mevatel an earlier machshava? That's only by kelim de chashivi, that's only by a vessel, which is chashuv, which is something that respectable in the sense of that it already acquired a status of something significant, which is a vessel. So you can't just easily destroy its status of a vessel because it's already something chashuv. So therefore, although that yes, the machshava maybe made it, but it already made something significant, a thought cannot just undo a status that a vessel has. Avayadas, but maybe you would think to say something which is just a handle, it's just a subsidiary, it's just something secondary, which is lotzarech achila ninu, it's just a tool to help you for eating purposes. On that, b'machshava nasa, machshava salka, maybe it won't be difficult from that mission over there in Kelim, because maybe you're right, a thought could make it into a yad, which is when you're reaping it for eating, but a thought could remove that status of yad too. And although we said the machshava cannot be moitzi miyad machshava, maybe that's only what that Mishnah there is talking about in Kelim, which is regarding vessels, but regarding a handle, it's not such a chashav a thing, and therefore although the status could be made with a machshava, it could be undone with a machshava, and that would be the opinion of the Rabbanan, not like the Acherim, and therefore both opinions could be like a Menashe. Acherim would hold that no, there's no difference between Kelim and Yadis. It already had the status of yad, it retains that. The Rabbanan would hold, no, you could undo that with changing your mind. But that the Gemara asked, but now we're learning the Mishnah Masechtas Uktzin that says as follows. It says, Kol Yedos Ha'Eichlin, all the handles of food items, again, the things that are attached that allow you to handle the food item, Shebesasan, which the Gemara will shortly explain what that is. Actually, Machlik is what Besasan means. But either way, it means to say a way of separating the Yad from the Eichel, from the food item. So if someone does this Besisa to the Yadois, to the handles, Begurin on the threshing floor, then Tahiris, then it will be tahar, which means to say it will not be able to convey the tumah to the food item because the person has already revealed his intention that he doesn't desire it anymore to be attached, to be there as a yad to assist the meichel. Hence, it's not going to be anymore, it'll be already tahar in the sense it won't be in the status of being able to mekabel tumah as a yad of an eichel, which is only the eichel that can be mekabel tumah, and since it's a yad of it, it can be mekabel tumah, but without that, it's not mekabel tumah. And therefore, the food item will only become tamah if the tamah touches it, but not if it touches the yad. However, Rabbi Yosi says that it will still be in the halachic status of contracting tamah through being a yad of the eichel, which the Gemara will shortly explain. Why would that be if the person had already showed that they have no interest anymore in this being a yad? Hence, it shouldn't have the utility of a yad. So now the Gemara concludes its question. And that is Bishlam Lamandama Bisasan. It would make sense to explain Rav Menashe, which we had already explained what the case they would be arguing between Achim Draban and according to him, which is when it was originally reaped for eating, then the mind was changed, which we could say that what are the Achim and Draban arguing about? Can a machshava be moitzi miyad machshava? Achim would hold no, but Draban would hold yes, because that's different than the case of Kalim. Now, according to the pin that says that this case of the Mishnah Masechtas Uktzin, what does it mean, besasin, that will say that actually will remove its status of b'mekabel tumah, was hitter agudan, where the bundling of the bundle was undone. Now that's because, as Rashi explains, the term of Bisasan is related to the pasuk in Yechezkel Tazan that says Mispaiseses b'demoyach, which the word Mispaiseses means that you're rolling around in your blood, which means to say because when you untie a bundle, then all the stalks start rolling around on the threshing floor because it's very easily dispersed because they're not attached anymore in the bundle. So that's what it would mean, that it was besasan, which means to say it was untied. Now, shaper, according to that interpretation of what the term besasan in the Mishnah Masechtas Uktzin means, so then it wouldn't be a question the way we're trying to resolve how the Rabbanan would make sense according to Rav Menashe's interpretation in that machlekes between Achim and Rabbanan, and that is because since the undoing of the bundle essentially is just like a machshava, because all that undoing of the bundle is, it's what's called a gilu das. It's just revealing his intention that he doesn't desire the handles anymore, because the handles only have utility for the stalks for the of grain only when they're attached together in the bundle. But this person, by undoing the bundle, is obviously demonstrating that he doesn't desire it anymore, that aguda. Hence, he doesn't care for it as a yad. So according to that interpretation of the Mishnah Masechtas Uktzin, we would find the source for this idea that we're trying to say, that just a thought could remove a previous thought. So although the yad always initially, when it serves a purpose for the eichel, will then be secondary to the eichel, and it will be able to contract tumah for the eichel, we do find the source for the opinion of the Rabbanan, the way of Menashe is interpreting it, that a machshava could be mitzvah miyad machshava, because although you're untying the bundle, which seems to be in action, the way the Gemara is understanding of that now, that's not a significant action. Essentially, it's really just revealing what his intention is through a minor action. So, however, halachically, we're giving that a status of machshava. So you see that a machshava of a yad can be removed with another machshava. However, lamanda amamai besasin, but according to the other interpretation of the Mishnah Masechtas Uktzin, which the Gemara will shortly quote that machloek is, that means besasin mamish, it means literally it was trampled upon with either the legs of animals or with a hammer, as Rashi brings a pasuk in Tehillim Mem Daled, which is b'shimcha novus kamenu, with your name we will trample those who come on us, or b'isu eschilkasi, they trampled my portion. So it's a pulverized, it's destroying it. Now, here where it's a real full-fledged action, and only that way do the Rabbanan say that will remove the status of the Yad, which sounds like, however, but a machshava, just a thought, will not be able to remove the status of the Yad of the Eichlin. Now, in other words, the lenient opinion that argue on your Biesi, who says it still will be Tamei, the lenient opinion that Rabbanan say, it's only if you were Besasan that will make it Tar, which means to say that will remove the status of the Yad. Now, that sounds like only because you're doing besisa, which according to the other interpretation of besisa means doing a full-fledged action. So ma'ik lemema, according to that interpretation, what are you going to be able to say that if Rav Menashe is correct in his interpretation of the machloikis between the Achirim and the Rabbanan, was talking about that it was being reaped for eating purposes, and that's why the Achirim hold that it will have a loch of yad, even though when you're reaping for schach straight away, it will not have a loch of yad, because it already had the halach status of yad, and it maintains that. But then what would be the pshat of the Rabbanan? But a machshava cannot be meitzi from a tumah of yad, because as we see, even the lenient opinion that we're quoting in the Mishnah Masechtas Uktzin is only saying that besisa could remove that, which is a full-fledged action. And that's going on the halach of yad, not just like the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, which was told by Kelim. And therefore, we can't even say what we tried to say, that maybe the yad this is different, because even the lenient opinion in Masechtas Uktzin is only saying that a besisa, again, according to that interpretation, which means to pulverize it, which means to bang it, either with a hammer or with the animal's feet, only that maisa could remove from machshava, and not just a machshava. So that the Gemara answers, you're right, according to that interpretation of besisa, hachanami, here also, regarding the machlekes of the Achirim Drabbanan that we brought on the previous daf, that is also talking about shebesasin mamish, that it was actually trampled upon when he changed his mind to use it for schach. They did a maisa, which was that of trampling it, which was maitzi from the machshava. And therefore, it's not a difficulty. In other words, everyone would agree to Rav Menashe, that if you're reaping it for the purpose of schach, it would not have aloch of yad. They're talking about a case of when it was reaped for eating purposes, and then it was and then it was changed to schach. That's why the Achimer hold that it has a lach of yad. The Rabbanu hold it doesn't have a lach of yad. How so? How are you removing it from the original machshava to machshava? It wasn't just a machshava. It actually was a maisa, just like the Mishnah Masechtas Uktzin. They trampled on it and showed they were doing a maisa to say, oh, we're not using it for eating it anymore. I'm using it for schach. And that's how it's going to be that it doesn't have a lach of yad anymore. Now the Gemara asks, Ihachi, but if that's the case, so my tamei da'achem, then what would be the pshat na'achem? We're going backwards now. Because they hold that it still has a halacha of tumas of yad, but why would it have tumas of yad if you did a maisa of besisa, which a maisa is maitzi from the machshava of it being a yad? So that the Gemara says, that's not difficult to amak Reb Yasi. What do you mean? The da'achem is like Reb Yasi, did not, like we learned in that Mishnah, Masechtas Uktzin, the Reb Yasi mitami. Reb Yasi holds that it is tame, even with besisa, and that would be the machlekes between the da'achem and the Rabbanan, both going like Reb Menashe, because they're not talking about the case Reb Menashe talks about. If you went to cut it straight away for schach, everyone would agree that it would not have a lachic status of a yad. However, they're talking about a case of when it was reaped for eating, and then you changed your mind, and you did an action, would that action of besisa remove it or not? That's a machlekes that we find in Masechtas Uktzin. That's the same machlekes between Achayim and Rabbanim. But the Gemara asks on that answer, Haimai, what's going on over here? How can you compare the two cases of the Machlekes Achim Drabbanan and that Mishnah Masechtas Uktzin? And that is Bishle Mahasam. It's very well over there by the Machlekes Reb Yasi, where they're talking about a case of when it's by the garden, by the threshing floor. There you could say that time of the Reb Yasi, what's the reason of Reb Yasi that even though that it was already had Besisa, it was already trampled upon, that it's still going to be able to transmit tumma if you're totally destroying the yad. Why would you say that it's going to have a halacha of a yad? Because chazir like Reb Shimon Malakish, because it's still fit for what Reb Shimon Malakish says, that it should still have the halachic status of a yad, because the person still prefers that it be attached to the food item, just like it is in the status of when you did besisa to it already. Damer Shimon Malakish, like Reb Shimon Malakish said, and the reason is because it's still fit to turn over the tips of the stalks be'eser with a pitchfork through the yadis. And that is, although yes, they're totally trampling the yadis, and which would seem to indicate that you're doing a maisa to be maitzi from machshav of yadis, it should not have a lach of yadis. That we have, Reb Shimon Malakish says that no, although you don't really want it anymore, and you're detaching it, so it shouldn't have halach of yad, you still want it a little bit, because without the yadish, without the stalks, without the straw, without what this yad is, it wouldn't be easy to turn it over, because since they're very small, the grain, it would fall between the sticks of the pitchfork, and it would fall through the cracks. And therefore, when the person is going to do the besisa, which is trampling on it, he wasn't intending to totally be mevatel the halacha of the yad, rather just to soften it because he wants just the grain, and ultimately he's going to have to detach it. But in the meantime, he still wants to hold on to it because it'll be easier to handle it with the pitchfork. So that's how we could understand why Reb Yasi, but they would say metame, because although you're clearly indicating you don't want this to be attached anymore, but you still want it a little bit, and that's why it still will have a lach of yad. However, elahacha, but over here, in the case of that Rida'achem Rabban arguing about, where now that you're changing your mind when you're doing the besisa, you're changing your mind from eating purposes and you want to use it for schach, lamai chazye, what are the handles, what are the yadis of the oichlam fit for once it's being trampled on, and they're not tied together, what would be the utility of it being a yad? A yad can only be if there's utility. You want to utilize it as some type of secondary usage for the thing that it's being attached to. In this case, the food item. So by Reb Yasi, we found the utility for it, because then it helps to be able to handle it with the pitchfork, even though really very soon you're going to be separating them, and that's why you're already starting the process by softening it, but you still want it a little bit so that you can use it with the pitchfork. But over here, when you're using it for schach, why would I want to have, especially that I'm doing besisa to demonstrate I don't want to be attached, what utility would it have from one to the other to say that it'll still have a lach of yad to be able to contract tumah to the grain? And that the Gemara says, no, we could still compare the two cases, because chaz yelichi sasar, the reason why there is something fit about the straw still being attached to the grain is that when you're going to take apart the sukkah, leminkat lehu begilayu, so that you could grab onto the straw through the connection of it with the tips of the stalks, that connection will help you be able to easily take it apart from the sukkah. So therefore, there is still some utility in it being attached, although now when you're making a sukkah, there is no need for it. But when you're taking it apart, it'll be easier to do that when they're attached, and that's why it'll still have a halacha of yad, and that's why the acherim would be comparable to the halacha of Rabbeisi, that it will still contract tumah because of the halacha status of yad, and therefore we could say that Menashe is actually like both acherim and Rabbanan. They're talking about a different type of case of when it was originally reaped for eating, then changed your mind. And then, depending on the interpretation of what besasin would mean, you could either say that the Rabbanan would hold that a machshava would be meitzi from the original machshava. If you hold besisa, it just means to untie the bundle. Or you'd say to the contrary, that if besisa means that you need an action, the Rabbanan makes sense because you're doing an action of besisa to undo the machshava. And however, the acherim would hold that even though you did a besisa, they would hold like a b'yesi because there's still some utility of it being attached, in this case of the sukkah, to be able to, when you're undoing the schach, that's why you would still have a loch of yad and be able to contract tum. Now the Gemara says gufa, which Rashi says, and there's different interpretations if it's Rashi asking his Rebbe or it's a Talmud that wrote this in the name of Rashi, but the question was that the Gemara is quoting now Gufa, and in truth, it's a quote of this Mishnah Masechet Uktzin. Generally, the term Gufa means to say when we mention the Machlekes Amaram, and here we're quoting a Machlekes in the Mishnah, which we don't generally use the terminology of Gufa, which what the answer was that since it's a Mishnah from Masechet Tahiris, from Seder Tahiris, which is a Mishnah Masechet Uktzin, where there's no Gemara on it, and it's not explained anywhere like other Mishnahs besides in this Gemara, so therefore the Gemara uses the same terminology of something that's explained in the Gemara, which is generally by Amiram of Gufa. Here, although it's a Mishnah, it's in the same context of really of it being elucidated in the Gemara. That's why it uses the terminology of Gufa, even though it's really a Mishnah Masechet Uktzin. So the Mishnah is, as we quoted before, Kol Yadayis Ha'eichlin Shebesasin Begarin Tahiris. All the handles of food items that were besasan, which we're going to explain what that means, on the threshing floor, they're going to be tar. In other words, they will not have a halacha of yad to still be considered attached to the eichel to be able to contract tumah for the eichel through the yad. Rabbi Yisrael holds that no, it will still have a halacha of yad to be able to contract tumah. Now the question is my besasan. So we already mentioned in passing these two opinions. Rabbi Yechonamar, he says besasan namish means literally trampling on it, which is a maisa gomer. Rabbi Lozheimer, he says, Hitter Agdon is just like a small maisa, which we had explained as a machshava type, which you just untied the bundle. That itself, according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, would be able to undo its status as a yah. So the Gemara asks, Bishlam of the Rabbi Lazar, so this is a very well country Rabbi Lazar, the Umbisasan Hitter Agdon, that he says, which is a chiddush for the Rabbanan's opinion, that just untying the bundle will be enough to remove its status of a yad, which we said possibly would be because a machshava could be mitziv a machshava when we're dealing just with something insignificant like yadis. But then haynu tamid de b'yesi, we would also be able to understand very easily the opinion of b'yesi, who he holds that it still will be able to contract tum as a yad, because since it's a very insignificant action that you're doing, you're not really trampling on the yadis, you're just untying the bundle, that itself would not be able to negate its status as a yad. But El Rabbi Yochanan, the Ambesasin Mamish, because Rabbi Yochanan, that his interpretation is that Besasin means literally trampling. You're doing a real full-fledged action showing that you don't want these things to be attached anymore. You're trampling them. So that would make sense according to the opinion of the Rabbanan that they're coming to explain how that Maisa, of course, can be Maitzev and Machshava of it being a Yad. But however, Amay Metam Rabbi Yisi, why would Rabbi Yisi hold that it would still be Tamei because of a Yad? But you're doing a Maisa, and a Maisa we know is Maitzev and Machshava for sure regarding the others. So that Amr Shem Alakish, and we quoted this before, he says, Hoyl v'ru uyeis lahayfchen be'eser. Since the handles of the stalks are still fit to be able to, although you don't want them to be attached, and you're clearly illustrating this by trampling them, because you want to separate the grain so you could use it for making bread or whatever it is, but you still want to be able to, that it should be held on just so little bit so that you can easily hold on to it with a pitchfork, which if you only had the grain, it would be very hard to fall through the cracks. Therefore, you still want it to be attached, hence it would still have the halacha of yadis, even though it's trampled on. Now, parenthetically, the Gemara says that since we mentioned this idea of since it's fit, like the Gemara's lashon was ru'uyas lahafach ba'eses, since it's fit to turn it over with the pitchfork, so the Gemara mentions this agadic teaching also. Amr Balaza, lama nimshla tefilasin shal tzadikim ke'eser. Why are the prayers of the righteous people compared to a pitchfork, which we find that it's compared to an eser, as the pasuk says in Bereishis Chafei, Vayetar Yitzchak Lashem. that Yitzchok davened to Hashem, or by Yehosterlai, that he listened to his tefillahs. So it uses the terminology of Eser, which is the term of a pitchfork. Why are their tefillahs compared to a pitchfork? So that the Gemara says, Lo Yimelcha, to tell you, Ma Eser, is that just like this pitchfork, it turns over the produce, the grain, in the threshing floor from place to place. So too, the praise of the righteous, it turns over, so to speak, the thoughts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from an attribute of cruelty, is to an attribute of mercy. And that is done through the tefillahs of the tzaddikim. They're able to take a Kaddish Baruch from midas adin to midas harachamim, and that's why the tefillahs are compared to an eser. Again, similar to the idea that we mentioned, that the purpose of an eser is to be able to turn over the grain, and that's why we said that we want it, at least according to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, to be attached with the stalks. Now the Gemara continues, again, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, is discussing the halachas of schach. So the Mishnah tells us that a machlokes mesachachin bin nesarim. The first opinion mentioned in the Mishnah is that Rabbi Yehuda holds one can go ahead and cover the roof of the sukkah, eschach, with planks of wood. Remeya holds its usher. And the Gemara will explain the reason for the machlekes, why one would or not be able to use planks of wood, eschach. Now, nosna leo neser shu rochav abar tfachim. If someone goes ahead and places on top of his sukkah a plank, a board that's 4 tfachim wide, so Ksher, the sukkah will be kosher, and the Gemara will later explain who is this that's saying this statement. Is it Rabbi Yehuda, or is it a mayor? Is it both of them? However, whoever it is that's saying this ends off by saying, although the sukkah will be kosher, even though you put up a board of 4 tefachim wide, ubavat shalishin tachtav, as long as you don't sleep underneath that board that's 4 tefachim wide, because that would be considered schach pasul, as the Gemara will explain that according to Rav, that will be according to the opinion of Reb Meir. Whereas according to Shmuel, that will be according to everybody. Now, the sukkah will be kosher, because as the Gemara will explain, that if we're talking that we're putting it near the wall, where there schach pasul does not invalidate on the side, only if it's at least 4 amos, because up until 4 amos, we say the halacha of doifin akuma, although it's pasul schach, will actually view it as a continuation of the wall. So even though it's schach pasul up to dar amos, it's not a problem, because we can view the doifin, the wall bent up to the 4 amos. However, in the middle is where we're talking about, that's where it would invalidate the sukkah. However, here, since it's on the side, the sukkah will be kosher, but you can't sleep underneath it, because A, it's schach pasul, and B, if we're anyway going to be kashering the sukkah through that, it'll be that it's a wall, and it's not part of the roof anymore. Now the Gemara has a machlekes, how to interpret the machlekes that we have in our Mishnah. Amar Rav. Rav says, machlekes bin nesarim shesh bin abba. The machlekes in our Mishnah is talking about board that has 4 tefachim. And the reason is, because most of the roofs of houses are made from these types of boards that are 4 tefachim wide. And therefore, the mayor that he holds that it's going to be possible such a sukkah is legzeis tikkur. He holds of a decree of a roof, and that is if we allow someone to use his schach made out of planks of wood that are 4 tefachim wide. So somebody's going to say, "Hey, what's the difference sitting in the sukkah or sitting under the roof in my house? They're both made out of the same type of roof." Now, even if that would be kosher halachically in a sukkah, and therefore someone's going to say, hey, what is the difference? There is a difference, because a house is definitely possible, because the Torah tells you have to sit in a sukkah and not the house that you sit in all year round. So therefore, we don't let you ever use planks of wood that are 4 tefachim wide, because if we do, you might come to sit in the house, which is obviously possible. Rabbi Yehuda, less legzeis tikkur. However, Yehuda is not concerned about this decree that one might not be able to differentiate between a sukkah, especially if it's on this porch, it looks just like his house, or he has a skylight, and his house, because it's made out of the same roof. He's not concerned about that. And therefore, even though it's 4 tefachim wide, it's okay, because it's kosher schach. It grows from the ground, and it's not makabel tumah. It doesn't have a receptacle. Avol b'nesarim she'in b'hen arba, but Rav tells us, regarding a case where the planks of wood are not 4 tefachim wide, where most of the roofs of houses are not made with such narrow planks, everyone would agree that it would be kosher such a schach, because it's not comparable to a roof at all to say, to make a decree, not to use it, that we might confuse. That's Rav's opinion. V'Shmuel Amar, he says no. B'she'ein behen arba machlekes. When they're not 4 tefachim wide, that's where we had the machlekes, where Behuda said it's kosher, because most roofs are not made out of such narrow planks, and therefore there's no such a decree of gezeres tikra. Whereas Reb Meir was concerned for the minority of cases where there are those who make roofs out of very narrow planks, and Reb Meir's sheet is mentioned throughout Shas that is chayish lemi'uta. So since some people do, he's still concerned of making gzeiris tikra even when it's less than 4 tefachim wide. Aval yesh ben arba, but according to Shmuel, if the boards are 4 tefachim wide, the reha kol psul, everyone, even Rabbi Huda would agree that it's going to be pasul, and because of this gzeiris tikra that is comparable to the roof of a regular house. Now the question on Shmuel is, ein behen arba, that is, you're saying that if it's not 4 tefachim wide, even then Reb Meir would hold that it's possible because of gzeiris tikra. Now vafila pachas mishleisha, is that even if he's saying if it's less than 4, which sounds like it doesn't say how low, is that even if it's less than 3 tefachim wide? But hakana be'almanin, but the Gemara asks, what do you mean? That's just reeds. In other words, how would you ever have kosher schach if anything less than 4 tefachim will have the concern of gzeiris tikra, because people make very narrow planks? Well, how narrow? Even less than 3 tefachim, then what is kosher schach? So Amar Papa says, this is what Shmuel was saying. Yesh ben arba, if they're 4 tefachim wide, then divrei hakol psul. Everybody, even Rabbi Yehuda, holds going to be possible because of gzeiris tikra. It really looks like the roof of a regular house, which people could get confused. Pachas mishleish, if it's less than 3 tefachim, no. Then divrei hakol ksher, everyone holds is going to be kasher. My time, akana be'almanin. What's the reason? Because it's just reeds. It's regular schach. What else are you going to use for schach? Ki pligi mishleish ad arba. The machlek between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir was in the case of when it's between 3 and 4 tefachim wide. That is Marsav, Rabbi Yehuda held, keeping the lesson of his shir makim, since it doesn't have the measurement of place, which is, it's not its own distinct area, which we know in halacha is always 4 tefachim. So like Ezrin, so therefore we don't make this decree of a gezera of tikra, of confusing it with a roof, because since it's not a distinct chashavi area to make a roof out of it, therefore we're not going to make such a decree when it's less than 4 tefachim. Marsav, Rabbi Meir held, that no, keeping the nafkid luhu materis lo, but since it's already bypassed the what would be considered the halacha of lavid, which is if you have the ear space less than 3 tefachim, we always consider that as lavid, as we see that closed up and attached. Now here, since this plank is more than 3 tefachim, so it is significant in the sense of that we view it as its own thing, at least that it's not lavid anymore. Hence, it would be similar to a roof, and therefore gezrin, and we would make a gzera if it's more than 3 tefachim. However, there would be 3 different levels, less than 3 tefachim, everyone agrees is okay. More than 4 tefachim, everyone agrees is not okay. And between 3 and 4, that's Machlekes Reb Meir and Yehuda, according to the interpretation of Shmuel. Now, the Gemara quotes Tan, we learned Nar Mishnah, which would seem to indicate like one of the 2 interpretations of Rav and Shmuel. The Mishnah tells us, Nosno leho neser shurachav abar tefachim. The Mishnah says that if someone puts a plank on top of the sukkah that's 4 tefachim wide, the sukkah is kosher, however, as long as you don't sleep underneath that plank. Now, as Rashi explains, the Gemara assumes right now that that's everybody that's saying that. We first said the Machlekes Reb Meir and Yehuda, and then the Mishnah just continues anonymously saying something which sounds like it's everyone that the sukkah will be kosher. Now, as we explained in the Mishnah, how is a sukkah going to be kosher if you have 4 tefachim of pasul aschach, which is if you put it on the side, we will say deifin akuma, and therefore it will not be invalidating the entire sukkah, because we'll view it as part of the wall. However, one cannot sleep underneath it because that's schach pasul. So, bishlem l'shmuel, d'amer b'shein behen arba machlokes. So, we can very well understand our Mishnah according to Shmuel, that he says that the machlokes was only when the boards are less than 4 tefachim wide. Aviyesh ben arba, d'ri akol b'sula, but when the boards are 4 tefachim wide, everyone agrees that it's invalid because of this gzeiris tikra. So mishum hachil yishun tachter. That's why we can understand why everyone would agree that you cannot sleep under these planks, because they're schach pasul, and we have to make it only kasher sukkah by doing deif and akuma. You can't sleep under a wall or under schach pasul. El Rav, but according to Rav, the Amar b'Shiyesh ben Arba Machlekes, where he says that no, not everyone agrees when it's more than 4 tefachim, it's going to be wide. Actually, that's a machlekes, because Rabbi Yehuda holds even more than 4 tefachim, it's going to be kasher. Because actually he holds that if it's not 4 tefachim wide, everyone, even Reb Meir, would hold that it's going to be kosher. But then the question is, Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that he says it's kosher ischach, because hey, it's not mekabel tumah, it grows in the ground. But what's wrong that it's 4 tefachim wide or 5 tefachim wide? So amai leishin tachtav. Why, according to him, would one not be able to sleep underneath that plank if Rav holds that Rabbi Yehuda would hold its kosher even more than 4 tefachim, and our Mishnah sounds like it's going according to everyone, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So that the Gemara answers, as we had alluded to already in our Mishnah. Mi savar de Yaakov, do you think the end of the Mishnah is going like everyone, even like Rabbi Yehuda? No, Seifa son Rabbi Meir, the Seifa is going like Rabbi Meir, which, at least according to the interpretation of Rav, the Seifa is only like Rabbi Meir, who he holds that yes, more than 4 tefachim is chach pasul. So yes, if it's on the side of the sukkah, where it's not going to invalidate the sukkah because of Dafna Guman, but you cannot sleep underneath it. But you're right, according to Rabbi Huda, at least according to interpretation of Rav, one would be able to sleep underneath it, and the end of the mission is not going according to Rabbi Huda. So Rigmar said, Toshim, I come in here from the following Braisa to see which interpretation of Rav or Shmuel is correct. The Braisa says, Shnei Sadinim Mitzdarfin, two curtains, two different pieces of cloth, they combine to the shear of four tefachim to invalidate a sukkah. And that is because if one has schach pasel, invalid schach, in middle of a sukkah, if let's say it's something that's makabel tumma, so then we would say that the entire sukkah would become invalid if it's four tefachim wide, if it's in the middle of the sukkah. On the side, we say it could be up to four amas, because you can view it as if there are walls continuing. But if in the middle of the sukkah, if you have throughout the middle of the sukkah four tefachim wide, that would invalidate the sukkah. So if you have two curtains that are less than four tefachim, but if they're next to each other, they will combine, since they're pasul schach, to make an area of four tefachim wide. Now the Gemara continues Amud Beis. However, shnei nisarin ein mitzdarfin. Two planks of wood do not combine to invalidate the sukkah, and actually because even if the entire sukkah was covered with the planks of wood, it would still be a kosher sukkah, because that's the opinion of Rabbi Huda, who he's not bothered, as our Mishnah says, regarding the planks of wood. Even the planks of wood are like the curtains, as he said in our Mishnah, because he holds that there is a gzeis of tikra, and hence, if you have these two planks near each other, if they take up a space of four tefachim, that would invalidate the sukkah. Now, the Gemara asks the follows. Bishlei melish Shmuel, we can very well understand this based on the opinion of Shmuel, the Amar that he said, Bishayin behen arba machlokes, the whole machlokes, if we hold of this gzeis tikra or not, was only when it's less than four tefachim. Aviyesh behen arba, but if the plank of wood has an area of four tefachim, divri hakol psula, then everyone would agree that the sukkah would be pasul. So then we could explain this machlokes that we're quoting over here between Remeya and Rabbi Huda, that it's talking about the plank of wood is less than four tefachim. Now that Rabbi Huda says that even if you have two planks of wood that are three tefachim each, even though more than three tefachim has already surpassed the halacha of Lavud, still they will not combine to invalidate the sukkah, because even if you make the entire sukkah out of them, as we said, that's not a problem. It doesn't hold that it's schach pasul. As Rav Papa had qualified the halacha of Shmuel, that's between three and four tefachim, that Rav Meir would hold that it's going to be pasul, and therefore then they will combine if they take up an area of four tefachim to invalidate the sukkah. Now, then it would make sense to say that my mitzdarfin, what does Rav Meir mean when he says that they will combine? It means mitzdarfin l'arba, they'll combine to an area of four tefachim, that is if they're middle of the sukkah, and you have either, although each one is less than four tefachim, but together to take up a space contiguous of four tefachim, that will invalidate the sukkah, as we'll learn later on, that invalidates the sukkah with the share of four tefachim. But El Rav, but according to the interpretation of Rav, the Amma that he says, Bishyesh behen arba machlokes, that he says, the whole machlokes between Remeya and Rabbi Huda is only if it's at least four tefachim wide, Avaim behen arba, but if they're not four tefachim wide, Divri Akol Kshera, even Remeya would hold that it would be kosher. So in Hechadami, how do we understand this version of the machlokes Remeya and Rabbi Huda that we're quoting? Ida isbu arba, if they're four tefachim wide, so lama lehu litzderufei, why do I need combining? And that is, Rav Meir said that, Nisarim are the same thing as Sadinin. I hold their schach pasul, and therefore, just like by Sadinin, they combine to make four tefachim a pasul, so too by the planks of wood. Now, the problem is that already one of them is already going to invalidate the sukkah, because it's already four tefachim wide on its own. Why do you need to combine it with another one? And Idalesbu Abba, and if you're going to say that, oh, it's talking about that the planks of wood are less than four tefachim wide, but then why would they combine to invalidate the sukkah? But according to Rav, that when they're not four tefachim wide, everyone holds going to be kosher, why would they combine? Even if they're taking up four tefachim or more, just like when you have bamboo sticks, if you're combining them to four tefachim, it's not going to invalidate the sukkah because it's kosher schach. Why over here would they combine to say that it's possible if less than four tefachim, everyone agrees it's going to be kosher? So how do we understand this based on Rav's interpretation? So now the Gemara answers, La'olam de'isbur abba. Truthfully, Rav would tell you that we're talking about that they're four tefachim wide. Now, then the question is, umay mitzdarfin, so what does it mean that they're combining if already one of them would already invalidate according to the opinion that holds that it's possible? Mitzdarfin la'arba amis minatzad. It would mean, according to Remeya, that they're combining to four amis when they're on the side, not in the middle. As we said before, because on the side, Schach Pasul will only invalidate when it's at least a share of Dalet Amos, because less than that, that we say there's Halacha Maishim Esina, B'dayif and Akuma, that we won't view it as part of the Schach, but rather as the wool is bent. So therefore, that's what Remei would be saying, that is Mitztarev, although it's already four Tvachim itself, but for the side, for it to be combining to Dalet Amos. To which Rabbi Yehuda comes and says, and he argues, and he says, look, even if you take two boards that are each four Tvachim wide, and even if you continue going up to four Amos, they still won't combine to invalidate the sukkah, because even if the entire sukkah is made out of these boards, it's fit to make schach out of it, because he's not concerned, again, according to the interpretation of Rav, with Gezeiras Tikra at all, no matter how wide it is. So therefore, it's not a contradiction to Rav's interpretation. The Gemara brings Lishna Achrina, another version of this previous discussion that we just brought, regarding how this reflects on the opinion of Shmuel and Rav. The Gemara says a different version, that is, Bishleim l'Shmuel, this is very well, the way we're quoting Machlokes from Meir and Yehuda over here, according to Shmuel, the Amma that he says, Bishein behen arba machlokes, he says, the whole Machlokes from Meir and Yehuda was between three and four tefachim, alveyesh ben arba, but if it is four tefachim wide, then divri hakol besula v'rim, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's going to be possible. So then we could understand Maimitztarf. And what does it mean, according to the opinion of Remeir that he holds, that the boards do combine just like the curtains combine? It means Mitztarf and Laba Amas Menatzad. It means to combine to four Amas from the side. So that makes sense according to Shmuel, where this is, according to Shmuel, would make sense to say that they're combining, that it is possible. But according to one opinion, it's not going to be possible. But however, according to Remeir, they could combine if they're already four Tvachim wide on the side. El Rav, but according to Rav, Bishlam Reb Meir, my Mitztarf, and it makes sense according to Reb Meir, what does it say that it's combining, as we had already mentioned the first version, which that was the resolution for Rav, Mitztarf and Laba Amas Benatzad. That means to combine, when you're combining four Tvachim, if four Tvachim itself is the Psul, it means to combine it from this side. El Rabbi Huda, but what's difficult is not actually Reb Meir's opinion, but Rabbi Huda's opinion. The Amar that he said, Afili Yesh Ben Abok Sheira, according to Rav's version in Rabbi Huda, even, because that's the whole machlik, is when it's more than four tefachim. So Rabbi Yehuda says, even when it's more four tefachim, it's going to be kasher, it's kasher schach. So my ein mitzdarfen, the Mishnah, which is the top line of this Gemara, which was from Rabbi Yehuda's statement, that he said, oh, shnei nistarfen ein mitzdarfen, two planks do not combine. Now, what does he mean when he says they don't combine, as if they are pasul, and had they combined, that would invalidate the sukkah, whether it be Dalet Amos on the side or Dalet Tvachim in the middle. So we're talking about that they're more than Dalet Tvachim. And that is, according to Shmuel, it makes sense, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that although Rabbi Yehuda holds that it is Schach pasul when it's four Tvachim wide, however, he disagrees that they would combine on the side to make a sukkah of Dalet Amos, of it not being of already not being able to be the halach of Deif Nekuma. But according to Rav, konbi almaninu, according to Rav, in his interpretation of Yehuda, even more than four tefachim, what is it? It's nothing. It's regular sticks. It's regular schach, bamboo sticks. What would be the problem that they're four tefachim wide, five tefachim wide, and for them to combine? So you're saying that, no, they don't combine. But what does it mean they don't combine? It sounds like if they were to combine, it would be a problem. What do you mean? If you combine all the bamboo sticks on your sukkah, would that be a problem? That's not a problem. It's kosher schach. Now, if according to Rav, Rabbi Yehuda holds his kosher schach, what does it mean they don't combine? Why would combining be a problem? So that the Gemara answers, you're right, but I did the comment Rabbi Meir Mitztarfen, because Rabbi Meir utilized the terminology of that they do combine, which would be a problem, because Rabbi Meir holds actually that it would be schach pasul when it's more than four tefachim. So therefore, it would combine to create an invalidation on the side of min hatzad, because we said in the middle it doesn't need combining, it's already four tefachim. So on the side, it would be a problem of surpassing the validity of David Nakuma if it's more than Dalet Amos. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mitztarfen. So that's where Rabbi Yehuda used a similar terminology of a Mitztarfen. But you're right. According to Rav, it wouldn't be that they don't combine. It would be that it's Chach Kasher, hence combining would not do anything to it. And that's the second version of what the question was on Rav, but again, it's not difficult because you're right, it's not really that they don't combine, it's not really schach pasul in the first place. He just used the same terminology that the his bar plukta that Reb Meir was using, so he used the same thing, but really it's not schach pasul. Now the Gemara concludes this machlokes by saying that Tanya Gavasei de Rav, we have a brisa that seems to support Rav, and Tanya Gavasei de Shmuel, we have a brisa that supports Shmuel, and the Gemara explains. Tanya Gavasei de Rav, we have a brisa that supports Rav, which says, Sachacha ben Nisar Mishal Eres. If someone covered his sukkah with schach of planks of wood of cedar, she'im behen arba that are not four tefachim wide, so divya kol k'sher ben holds is going to be kasher even Reb Meir. Yesh ben arba, when they're four tefachim wide, then, and this is exactly like Rav said, Reb Meir holds is going to be pasul. Rabbi Yehuda says it's going to be kasher. Now the Braisa just continues and says, Rami Yehuda, he wants to bring support to his shita, that even though there are more than four tefachim, there's no problem with such a schach, that he said, Maisa b'shasa sakana. There was once a story in the time of danger where the idol worshippers made a decree that we're not allowed to fulfill mitzvahs. And Sheheveinu Nisarm Shehoyu Ben Arba. So we brought planks of wood that were four tefachim wide, where the non-Jews would not recognize that we're using it for a sukkah. They're so used to that we use these small little pieces, the bamboo sticks. We're taking regular wood. They wouldn't suspect they were using it for a sukkah. Pesachachnu Agav Merpesed, and then we covered it over the porch. V'yishavim Tachtein, and voila, we had a sukkah. No one even realized we were sitting in the sukkah because it looked like a regular hut. But it really was a sukkah, and therefore we see that even though it's more than four tefachim wide, that we see the Chacham held that there was a valid sukkah. So Amalei, they responded to Rabbi Yehuda, Misham Raya, you bring a proof from that story? Hein Shasa Sakana Raya, a time of danger is not a proof. Although rabbinically it's a problem when it's more than four tefachim because it exists tikkun. In times of danger, then it was valid, but don't bring a proof that halachically we allow it, generally when it's not a time of danger, to use plank of wood more than four tefachim. So that b'raisa was like Rav. Tanya Gava Seyed Shmuel, we have a b'raisa that says like Shmuel, where it says, Sichacha b'nisarm shel eres, if one covers his sukkah with planks of wood of cedar, yesh behen arba, that are four tefachim wide, so divya kol, so everyone holds that it's going to be pasul, again, just like Shmuel. Ein ben arba, when it's not four tefachim wide, then Remeir place, Remeir holds it's going to be pasul. Rabbi Yehuda Machash, Rabbi Yehuda says, it's going to be kosher, again, like Shmuel. Now the Braisa continues and says that Umayd Remeir, however, Remeir does agree that whether it is four tefachim wide or whether it's not four tefachim wide, that although he's the one that holds the more stringent opinion, however, he says, She'im yesh be'nesel a'neser, that if there is between each plank of wood, k'maloi neser, the amount of space that there is of the planks itself, you have that same space between the planks, she'maneach pesel be'neim, that you're going to put kosher schach, which is pesel, which is what we always say, psoilus, which is the refuse, which is the things which are what's the straw that's left over, which is something that grows from the ground, it's not makabel tumah, it's not a food item, then it will be kosher. Now, the Gemara later on, the Afrit Chesam and Alf, will explain this case, which seems to be difficult, because how could Remeir, who holds that the planks of wood that are four tefachim wide are pasul because of gezeiras tikra, what would help if you're putting the kosher schach between the non-kosher schach, if that itself will not allow it to be connected because you have the non-kosher schach, and then kosher schach and non-kosher schach. So the Gemara later on actually explains that what we're talking about is a sukkah that's exactly 8 amos in the area. Now, if one follows the procedure of putting a plank of wood that's 4 tefachim wide, which is pasul, then putting pesel, which is kosher schach, and then continuing going up until the middle from one side, and then doing that same process from the other side, where you put a plank of wood, then kosher schach, plank of wood, and so on, up until the middle, you'll ultimately come to the two kosher schachs, which are always in the middle, meeting each other in the middle, which each one is four tefachim wide, the same area as the non-kosher planks, which that makes for a total of in the middle being 8 tefachim, which that's a kosher area of a sukkah itself, which has to be just a little bit more than 7 tefachim squared. Now, therefore, the non-kosher planks will not invalidate the sukkah because we utilize the principle of Deifin Akuma up until the middle part of the sukkah. So ultimately, we'll be seeing the walls as if they're going on both sides, four amis, all the way up until the middle, since it's exactly 8 amis. And the middle will have the remaining of the pesel, which is always in between, two of them touching each other, which are an area of 8 tefachim squared. That will be the kosher sukkah, as if we have walls all the way till there, based on the principle of Deifin Akuma. That's what the Brayis is saying, and the Gemara will explain it later on, Daf Yud Chesam et Alf. Now, Umayd Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, he also agrees the other way, that although he's the lenient opinion, when they're not four tefachim wide, which again, this price is going like Shmuel, who he holds that Rabbi Yehuda agrees when they're four tefachim, but when they're less than four tefachim, he's a lenient opinion that he holds that there's no gezeiras tikra. However, he does agree, Shimnas Nalao Nester, that if you do put on one plank of wood, Shurachav Arbar tefachim, which is four tefachim wide, now, again, according to this version, which is Shmuel's version, which this price is like Shmuel, that four tefachim, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that's possible. Now, as long as you're putting this plank on the side of the sukkah, so although that the sukkah is kshera, although the sukkah is going to be kosher, because when it's put on the side, we can utilize the principle of Deif Nakuma, and that is, if you had this four tefachim in the middle, that would invalidate the sukkah. Now, since it's on the side, so you can utilize Deif Nakuma, so it's a kosher sukkah, however, Rabbi Yehuda would agree, although he's a lenient opinion, but that's only less than four tefachim. When it is four tefachim, then you cannot sleep underneath it. And vayashon tachta b'liyatzadei chavasi, if someone would sleep underneath that plank, he has not fulfilled his chiyuv, because again, that's schach pasul, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, once it surpasses the four tefachim limit, where even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, again, according to this version, that of Shmuel, of this brisa, that it would have the gzeiris tikra, hence it's schach pasul. Now the Gemara continues on a variation of this halacha of the gzeiris tikra of being four tefachim wide. Itmar, we learned the following interesting question. Hafchen al tzidehen. If these planks that are four tefachim wide, if someone went and used them as schach, however, he didn't put it the way we were describing it up until now, on its width, rather he put them on their side, which would make it less than three tefachim wide. What would be the halacha in such a case? And that is because now, it's not the way normally planks of wood are used as roofs, which are four tefachim wide. Here, although they are in a normal way would have been, but now that you're turning it in a 90-degree angle, you're making it that it's going to be, you're going to be lining it up that way, they're less than four tefachim wide, or less than three tefachim wide. What's going to be the halacha over there? Would it be kosher or not? So we have machlekes. Rav Huna Amar Psula. He says it's still going to be invalid, as the Gemara will later on explain. Since intrinsically, these schachs are considered schach pasul because they're planks of wood, which we treat it, we visualize it, just like as if it was a spit made out of metal, which is possible to be used for schach, no matter which way you turn it. Here also, this is schach pasul. So although now when you turn it, right, when you turn it on a 90-degree angle, it's not anymore four tefachim wide, but it's schach pasul. So even though in the dimensions that you're using it now, it should be kosher, it's pasul. Rav Chisda v'Rabba b'Rav Huna Amri Ksheri, they say, no, it's going to be kosher. And the reason is because, wait, the whole reason why we invalidate the schach, it's schach kosher. It grows from the ground. It's not mekabel tumah. There's no receptacle to it. The only reason why we invalidated it was because of what's called gzeiris tikra. We're concerned that, well, people are going to think that if you can sit in such a sukkah, which is the planks of four tefachim wide, and it's just like my house, so I could sit in my house, which obviously is not kosher. But in such a case, people don't usually live in a house when they turn it in a 90-degree angle where it's less than four tefachim wide. So, of course it should be kosher. It's not like a piece of metal. It's only metal when it's four tefachim wide. When it's not, so then it's kosher, and therefore it's going to be kosher sukkah. Now, the Gemara brings a story related to this machlokes, the ikla Rav Nachman of Surah. Rav Nachman came to Surah. So, ula gabei Rav Chisda v'rabba Rav Huna. They both came to him to ask him if they would agree to their opinion that the sukkah would be kosher, because it's not intrinsically something that's aser. It's only in the way that visually, if it seems like it's four tefachim wide, then it looks like a roof. But when you don't have it in that way, then it should be kosher. So Amar Lei, they said to him, Hafchen al tzidein mahu. What's halacha if you turn it on its side? What's halacha then? So Amar Lehu, Rav Nachman responded to them, Psula, it will be puzzle, because nasa kishvud shal matches, it already acquired a status as if it's a piece of metal. It's schach puzzle. Now, although the way you're doing it now, it should not be, but it's already schach pasul, hence it already inquires a certain intrinsic quality, where no matter how you do it, it's not going to be valid to be used as schach. So Amar Rav Huna said to both Rav Chisda and Rabbi, he says, Lo yamiluchu, didn't I already tell you, Amri Kavasi, that you should do like me? What do you have to ask Rav Nachman for? So Amar Lei, they responded to Rav Huna, Umi amalan mar taima, did you ever give us a reason for, Voloi gablinim, and we didn't accept your reasoning? Rav Nachman was the one that told us a reason. Amar Lehu, he said to them, Umi be'isimenai taima, did you ever ask for me a reason? Voloi Amar Lehu, that I didn't tell you? If you would have asked me, I would have told you, then you would have agreed, and you would have known that I was right, that this thing already has intrinsic status of schach pasul, and even though the way it's being held right now, it's less than four tefachim, it's still going to be pasul in its current state. So the Gemara says, Limisayeli. Let's bring from the following brisa that seems to support Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, who that's the final halacha, that it will be pasul even in the way that it's being now, which is on its side, less than four tefachim. Because the following brisa says that Eina machzekis kedei reisha v'rubei v'shalchanai. The brisa is talking about different invalidations of a sukkah. So it says, first of all, let's say if the sukkah does not contain the person's head, the majority of his body, and his table, that's going to be pasul. Eish nifrit sabah pirtzo, or if let's say there's a breach in one of the walls close to the ground, kedesh yizdakar bagdi, that a goat can, which is the height of three tefachim, that it could come through the wall, b'bas reish, straight out, which doesn't have to just crawl and sneak underneath, which means if it's at least a height of three tefachim of the wall broken on the bottom, that would also be invalidation of the walls of the sukkah, hence it's not a kosher sukkah. Oy, and this is the case that we need for, that we're trying to prove, like Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, shenasna leo neser, If someone put on a plank of wood on top of the sukkah, shirachav abar tvachim, which is 4 tvachim wide, and this is the point, afa pishlo hichnas l'teicha, even though it doesn't enter the airspace of the sukkah, elish leisha tvachim, only 3 tvachim of those planks which are 4 tvachim, so then psula, still the sukkah is going to be pasul. Now, the Gemara says, hey chidami, when do you ever have a case of a plank that's 4 tvachim wide, but on the sukkah it's only going to be 3 tvachim wide? It's lav. So the Gemara says, lav kagain shahafkan, isn't it talking about such a case where you took all those planks that are 4 tvachim wide and you turned them al tzidim on their sides? And that's how you made this schach throughout the sukkah. And therefore, we see that even in such a case, it's going to be possible, which is clearly like Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, that because it already has a halacha of schach possible, even though the way you're doing it now, it should be kosher because it's not 4 tvachim wide. Another Gemara says, no, it's not a raya from that case. Because actually, the Brayis is talking about a totally different case. Halacha Ma'eskin, what we're talking about over here, is kagoin de'ancha, is that there was actually only one plank of wood that we're discussing. I'm not talking about a whole sukkah covered with these planks of 4 tvachim, which was then put on their sides. I'm talking about one plank of wood that was placed apuma dimitalalta. It was placed by the beginning, by the opening of the schach, which means by the fourth wall, which by the fourth side, which there's no wall over there, which is when you come into the sukkah, where you can't utilize over there the principle of deifin akuma, because there's no wall, just an opening, because if you had a schach pasla for tvachim, it wouldn't be a problem up until 4 amos. But here there's no wall to then say we're viewing as if the wall is continuing. The ayil tlus legav, the 3 of the 4 tvachim of this plank were inside the ear space of the sukkah where the walls are. The apikhad labar, but 1 tefach of it is sticking out. Now, although it's not the entirety of that 4 tefach board that's inside the ear space of where the walls are, the chiddush of the Brayis is, even in such a case, it will be pasul, even though it's only 3 tvachim that's there. Because actually that tefach that's sticking outside is considered as part of the sukkah. And therefore, had it been, let's say, kosher schach, we would be able to sleep underneath that part of the schach, even though it's coming out of where the area of the sukkah is, even though there's no walls over there, and you would fulfill yechivah sukkah. Because as the Gemara tells us later on, Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, the havli psol hayutzim min hasukkah, that would be considered as psal, which is the halacha psalis, which is another term for kosher schach. When kosher schach comes out from the sukkah, v'chol psal ha-yotzeh min ha-sukkah, nidu g'sukkah. Now, anytime you have schach coming out of the sukkah, which is a kosher sukkah, you have 3 walls and you have schach, if the schach continues going, even though there's no walls over there, that's considered as part of the sukkah, and hence you could fulfill your chiv in sitting in that area. So therefore, the same thing works for psul, to invalidate the sukkah. Which is, since you have this board, you would think that, yes, maybe a board that's 4 tvachim wide, if you cannot utilize the halacha of Deif and Akuma, will invalidate a sukkah, because 4 tvachim without Deif and Akuma invalidates a sukkah. But wait a second, there's only 3 tvachim over here, which should not invalidate, it has to be 4 tvachim, because 1 tefach is sticking out. That's what the Brayis is teaching the Chiddush, that it will still invalidate based on the halacha of Nisarim, of Gzeir's Tikra, because actually that part which is sticking out, we view as part of the sukkah, and therefore the Gemara says it's not a right to Rav Huna Rav Nachman to this machloikis that they had with Rav Chisda and Rabba, that it means how do you have 4 that you have only 3, which means when you turn it on its side. No, it's not a right, because it could be talking about the case that we just described of when it's 1 board sticking out, and that will view that 4th tefach as part of the 3 which is on top of the sukkah, and that's why the Brayis is saying that such a case would be possible.